In the name of Jesus, amen. Brothers and sisters, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Father, at whose word the waters of the world were formed, and from our Lord Jesus, who walked upon the foaming deep and calmed its raging with an outstretched hand. In the book of Revelation, St. John writes this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." And there is no longer any sea. Why is he making us go? Peter thought, as he boarded the small fishing vessel with his 11 friends. The miraculous feast of the fish and loaves had come to an end. All the people had their fill. But the people did not want the feast to end. The crowds, 5,000 people at least, not even including women and children, wanted to crown Jesus, a good king for the good times. "This man is a prophet of the Most High," they said. "This Jesus is a man we can get behind. Make him king! Make him king!" The people cheered. Peter wanted to resist his own master's command. He wanted to join in with the chanting mob. "Make him king! Make him king!" But the master of the feast rebuked the people. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." So this was the Jesus they desired. A Jesus without the cross, a Jesus without the storm and the sea. The crowds wanted a Messiah who would give them their fill however and whenever they so desired. As Peter raised up the mast, it caught wind almost immediately, and the fishing boat lurched forward into the sea. Looking back, Peter saw the crowds slowly making their way down the mountain back to their village homes. Further on, though, in the distance, he saw his master. It was evening now, and their master was going up on the mountain to pray, or so he had told them. By now, it was well into the night, 3 or 4 in the morning by all accounts. A wild tempest had reared its ugly head as they were navigating the sea. Peter, soaked to the bone, looked out into the raging deep of the sea. "Row! Row!" he bellowed. He turned his eyes and saw his brother seafarers wave-beaten and weak. "They're tired," Peter thought. "We aren't making headway. We won't last much longer if these strong winds keep up." "Row! Row!" As Peter lifted his gaze, his eye caught something. Out in the distance, on the water, what is it? It's moving, coming closer. Terrified, Peter yelled, "A ghost! Look, it's a ghost!" Now for Peter, this was the Near Eastern equivalent of Davy Jones coming to take him down to his watery grave beneath the murky depths. As far as the disciples were concerned, this was the end. All in an instant, all Peter knew about the sea flashed before his mind's eye. He remembered Noah and the universal flood that took the lives of the entire unbelieving world. He remembered Pharaoh and his army being swallowed up by the sea so that not even one of them remained. All of it came to him faster and faster. The prophet Jonah turning and fleeing from God so that the Lord hurled up a great wind on the sea and there was a great storm on the sea so that the ship was about to break up. The Psalms Peter knew by heart, the ones he had sung time and time again in synagogue, haunted him. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. The waves mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. The mariners' courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Peter realized in these last moments that the sea is nothing but judgment, danger, evil, and death. Each and every one of us comes into this church with our own personal storms. Here we are, gathered together to hear the Word of God, a beautiful thing. And yet if we could peer inside of ourselves, inside of our friends and family, many of us would hardly be able to keep our seats. Some of you are fighting against the strong wind of a shipwrecked and broken marriage. Like Peter, the harder you row, the stronger the winds blow. The harder you try to save the marriage, the worse it gets. Others among you are being battered by the waves of sickness and disease. As soon as you finish the painful and strenuous rehabilitation therapy, just as you get your sea legs, the doctor finds a lump. The same day you bury your mother, you get a call that your son's results came back from the doctor. And it wasn't that negative diagnosis you were praying so hard for. Or perhaps you're that one just barely treading water. A bank account with next to nothing in it. Guilt plagued by a family to whom you give everything, and it's still not enough. A mother or father, husband or wife, son or daughter that can't care for themselves anymore. And sometimes you feel that you just can't do it anymore for them. By God's grace, He does indeed keep your head above water. But His reassuring hand, stretched out for you, is near impossible to recognize over the tumultuous waves and thick fog. What's even worse, those lonely and dark moments of unbelief and doubt that we all have. When you ask God, "Why me, God? Do you really care about me, God? Are you even there, God?" Sometimes you can't even bring yourself to ask. You endure the sufferings of this turbulent life, struggling against the dark waters of death, sadness, doubt, and confusion. In our storms, we cry out the words of Psalm 69. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink down into the deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me." Out of the darkness, a familiar voice reaches Peter's ear. The strength of that voice is equal with that of the wind and the waves. But its calmness, the calmness of his call, is almost jarring in its dissimilarity to the thrashing and violence of the sea. Jesus says, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." "It is I," Jesus said. When our Lord says this, he isn't just saying, "Hey guys, it's me, Jesus. I'm right here. No need to worry." No. In the Greek, Jesus says, "Ego emi, I am." That is the great I am who I am of the Exodus. The very God who met Moses at the burning bush. The one walking on the water is one in essence with the very God whom we read about in our Old Testament lesson, the one who alone stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. In his mastery over the wind and the waves, Jesus is doing something that only Yahweh himself can do. The disciples truly can take heart. The disciples truly can not fear. For the very master of the universe, the very Lord of the wind, the very Lord of the waves, is coming near. Peter, recognizing Jesus, yells out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." "Come," says Jesus. Bolstered by the word of his Lord, Peter steps out onto the foaming deep. Like the Red Sea being parted for Moses and the Hebrews, Peter walks on the watery path atop the waves. Coming near to Jesus, Peter notices all around him the writhing waves surrounding him like wicked enemies whose intent is to destroy him. But Jesus said, "Come." "But the waves," thinks Peter. Peter begins to sink and he cries out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This isn't the Christ who is only there for us in the good times, for the times of feasting and celebrating. This isn't the Christ who is there for the births, the marriages, the graduations, the anniversaries. This isn't the Christ who just stands over at the shoreline and shouts directions at you. This is the Christ who, when we begin to sink, when we doubt, when we would rather see signs than rely on his words, "Take heart, it is I. Do not fear." He immediately reaches out his hand and takes hold of us, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This is truly the Christ who suffered the storm and the sea, the Christ of the cross. This Christ offers himself up completely for his bride, the church, for you and for me. And yet in many churches, she turns her back on him and rejects the pure, saving message of the gospel in favor of a demon who can tickle her ears. This is the Christ who pleads with his Father to let this cup pass from me. This is the Christ who was spit on, jeered at, bloodied by barbs on a whip, who had spikes driven into his hands, spikes driven into his feet, and was lifted up to hang on a tree. This is the Christ who from that tree cried out, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" This Christ is truly a Christ of the storm and of the sea. He is the Christ who never leaves your side, for he has washed you into his open side by the waters of the new creation. Remember that when you're sinking down into the depths of despair, doubt, and unbelief, they won't kill you because you've already died. When you are submerged beneath the waves of the baptismal font, you truly died. For in that water, with that word, you were pierced with liquid nails and crucified with Christ so that he might lift you up again out of the waters to new life. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? He doesn't tell you what to do. He says, "It is done. It is finished." Yes, there will be many times when you doubt it, when, like Peter, you will be of little faith. But even when you are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. For he is the Christ of the wind and the waves. He cannot deny that he is the Christ of the storm and of the sea. When the time is right, and according to his will, you will be led back onto the boat, and the wind will cease. He will say, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. He will reach out his hand. He will rebuke the winds. He will lift you out of the waves, and there will be a great calm. And just like the disciples, you too will confess with your lips, truly, you are the Son of God. In the book of Revelation, St. John writes this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away, and there will no longer be any sea. Amen, and so be it.